Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and this week we're going to be talking about is more really better, and when it's not better, what is better than more? The trap of more is better is usually because it's just human nature to think that progress is linear and more work equals more outcome and all of that sort of stuff. But it sort of ignores the fact that that's not taking into account the quality of the work. So, you know, like you could work 80 hours a week, but you probably wouldn't get as much done as you would like. And running's a bit the same. And I think it's an even easier trap to fall into because in the beginning, the first sort of stimulus that you bring in is just doing something more. So, you know, that happens with, you know, initially it's more running than walking. And after that sort of been established, it might be introducing a long run, which is a bit longer than your normal runs, or it might be starting to introduce an extra day. And so it creates this sort of cycle where the stimulus that you're introducing is more. And it can be easy to think that that is also the only stimulus that you can bring into it, whereas basically what you're responding to is something that's new that your body then has to adapt to. So sometimes that's more, but sometimes you can have even more adaptations by introducing something like, you know, like whether it's weight training or whether it's some form of sort of high intensity cross training, or whether it's a different style of training. Like if you've always sort of focused on like having a more endurance volume based approach, going to a more speed and intensity approach, or vice versa, or anything like that is going to introduce a new adaptation. So, and it's not like you want to be changing all the time, but if you have been doing a certain style for a couple of years and you're starting to feel like there's a plateau, then that is a good time to introduce something new. But it's not always more. Sometimes it is, but it's not always more. So, and usually most people will have a certain volume through the week that their body is pretty comfortable with. And, you know, at times you can increase that and you can sort of like raise what that volume is. But for the most part, whether it's sort of like your time in the week or just what your like body can maintain, there's a sort of sweet spot there. And you'll sort of see that when, you know, like people have a break, there's usually a volume of running that's relatively easy for people to get back up to, and that's just sort of like what you're comfortable with. So, you know, and it'll change over time, you know, like I think that for a long time my sort of sweet spot was probably, you know, like around the 50 to 60 kilometers a week, and recently it's sort of like gone up to, initially it was sort of like had gone up to around 70, and then I did like a whole period which was much higher intensity down around 50, and now it tends to sit about 100. But it's also to keep in mind that there's not that much intensity in that 100. So for example, this week there's really only one workout that's happening on Saturday, and everything else is sort of at an easy pace. There might be some extra intensity coming from the hills, so I did a hill session on Tuesday, but that's just like run at an easy effort up hills. It's not like hill repeats or anything like that. So part of that conversation with is doing more going to give you a benefit is, how is your body maintaining your current volume? And that should be the first question. And usually, you know, like if it's doing pretty well or it's struggling a little bit with it, you know, like, you know, if you're having to spend, you know, like half an hour of rolling every day just because like everything's so tight, or you know, you're starting to have little niggles and you're probably on the edge of where your volume should be, and you might even want to back that back a bit. But if you're feeling pretty comfortable, you're not feeling fatigued, you're not feeling super hungry, you're not having any of those clear signs that you are under recovery, then it is something that you could look at. Okay, like let's add something in. But keep in mind that usually when you're adding something in, you're adding something easy in, because if you're adding something hard in, that's like doubling up. It's like more, and then there's intensity. And there's also, you kind of want to add in one thing at a time so you know what the result is. Like if you add in a bunch of things at once, you have no idea what's causing what. And I guess also the other thing to consider in all of that is what your body can handle, but also what you can recover from. So you don't want to be like carrying fatigue from session to session. And so if that's happening, then that's a sign that it's a bit too much. And also you just want to be aware of what those indicators are that you are under recovering, which would be things like your sleep is impaired, which sometimes when, you know, like there's kids involved or there's work involved or there's, you know, like trying to fit everything in, that can be a hard thing to judge, because a lot of times you can just get really accustomed to poor sleep. But the easiest way to tell is if you are really tired but you're struggling to get to sleep, then that can be a sign that you're under-recovered. Or if you are sleeping for a decent amount of time but you're waking up and you're not feeling refreshed, also under-recovered. If you are feeling like there is a... It's always one of those things that's so hard to judge, because on the one hand, it could be if you're feeling hungry all the time, you could be under recovered. But also if you're not hungry at all, then you could be under recovered as well. Obviously any period disruption would also be a sign of under recovery. Also just being sore for longer than you would expect or hope to be too could also be a sign of that. So those are the kinds of things that you want to keep an eye on to make sure. Sometimes you have things like on watches now with heart rate monitors, you have like things like HRV, and that will sort of like give you an indication of your recovery. But you just got to make sure with things like that that you are treating it as a trend. There can be outliers in that. Also be aware of how you are doing it. Like I like to do it every morning just because I'm like, oh, that's an interesting number. But the other morning, like I was running short on time, so I was braiding my hair while I had that going, and with my hands above my head, I scored like 90, which is a very high score. And then I redid it with my hands not above my head, and it was like 50. So you just got to be aware of doing it the same way every day so that you're sort of like controlling those variables. And also don't get stressed out if it's high every now and then, because the reality is you want it to be high sometimes, because if it's high sometimes, then that means that your body has experienced a stress, which is what you want in terms of training, but it just can't be high like that all the time. So it's a bit like with those training effects that you get in if you have a Garmin watch, and I'm sure that the other watches have similar things. A lot of times it can be easy to kind of go, oh, you know, like I always want it to be like 3 or 4 because that means I'm improving. But if you actually look at the fine print on those training effect things, what it actually wants is there should be like maybe 1, maybe 2 things in your week that are high like that. But the other ones on the easy days should be a 2 or 1, not like be up there. And if they're not, then that means you are essentially like overreaching on those easy days, and so then there's not enough left in the tank for those more aggressive days. So that's the kind of thing that you've got to keep in mind, is that things are not going to be like exactly the same from day to day, and they shouldn't be. You wouldn't want them to be the same day to day. And it's sort of like, it's the same with your training. It's the same with things like VO2 max. If you get like a reading like that on your watch, you know, like the natural process is for you to have like a really great hard session and have that number go up. So like I did tempo intervals the other day, and it went up to 52, and then after a few days it went down to 50, and now it's down to 48. Part of that is how it works out, that score, which it's not really going to register it unless you are doing like a proper workout session. But part of it is also just the process of recovery, which is you have a stressor, your body's but then you have to recover, and then your body has to make adaptations to cope with that stressor. So you would expect there to be downs and ups in that, and as humans we often don't like that because we like to see things like always going up. But it's the same with you know, like if you're weighing yourself or anything like that, like there are going to be very big fluctuations in that. So what you're kind of looking at is a trend, and it's a really good, whether you're talking about like scales or metrics on your watch or whatever it is, to really emotionally separate yourself out from that, because you are looking at trends. You are not looking like looking at one finite point is no good. Like it doesn't matter. So the question can then become, you know, like when more isn't necessarily going to be better. Once you've sort of established that, it's like, look, you know, like I'm kind of plateauing here, but I know that I can't actually do more because my body's not going to be ready for a kind of like a jump to more volume, or my lifestyle's not going to accommodate it, or it's just not something that I'm going to enjoy. Then for starters, you might look like, okay, like maybe I'm too close on the edge of volume and I need to sort of like walk that back a little bit. And then you can sort of like see how that goes, see if that gives you a little bit more to take into your workouts for that adaptation to happen. Or if you feel pretty comfortable at the volume that you're at, but you don't have the scope to add in more stuff, then it's a matter of like, okay, like how can I change this style of training to introduce something new into the mix? And there are so many things that you could pick from in that department, whether it be you know, like doing sprint work, doing weights, hill work, effort-based work, you know, like there are just so many ways. Like maybe you've been doing intervals with resting recoveries and you go and you take that back into like doing active recoveries. There are just so many ways to introduce a new stimulus into something. And sometimes it might be too, like hooking up with a now that we can hooking up with sort of like group running sessions, because running with other people is a different stimulus. Or, you know, or sort of setting up like just a different style of session. Like if you're super comfortable in doing, you know, tempo type runs, but you've never done a whole heap of intervals, or maybe you haven't done really short hill sprints or strides before, whatever it is, like there are a million different things that you could introduce. And like the obvious one is definitely going from like, you know, like volume and have it be easy to like going to like much more like take the volume right down, really focus on the intensity. That would be the most obvious one, because people tend to gravitate in one or two sides of that. And usually it's to do with, you know, personal preference. So you might struggle to change that and still enjoy what you were doing. So it's sort of about finding other ways to introduce something new, whether that is like mixing up your week with a gym session, or, you know, doing some other forms of cross training and stuff like that. You know, like there are loads of things that would introduce a something new that aren't volume dependent. And the other part of that, of course, is just keeping a really good log of what you're doing, because you don't want to have a thing where you like feel like you want to make a change and then you make all of these changes and you're kind of like throwing things at the wall to see what sticks, and then you have no idea like what you've done. So, you know, just making a note of what you are doing, whether you're using an online thing like Strava, or, you know, you just got a notebook or whatever. Just when you're trying something, you want to really commit to it for 3 to 6 months, which is the hard part, you know, because it can be hard to trust the process, and you know, and it seems like a long experiment to have, but that's what you've got to do, because all of it just takes time. So you aren't going to know in the first few weeks if it's having an impact or not, and you're certainly not going to know if you're chopping and changing, you know, every few weeks either. And that's a bit what I've been doing. Like, I guess, like, how long have I been doing it? It's got to be at least, I would say, I'm getting towards 3 months, I guess. And so it is very different from what I've been doing, which was part of what my coach did, is looked at it and go, okay, you've been doing this and seem to, like, hit a bit of a ceiling with it, so we're going to do something different, which is a lot of effort-based stuff, it's a lot of hill stuff, it's a lot of fartlek type stuff, and it's a lot less of intervals with resting recoveries and a lot more active recoveries. So it's forcing me to recover while running, which often means that the intervals might not be quite as quick as if I was resting, but it's also challenging, because what happens when you have a resting recovery is your top energy system, your ATP, has a chance to regenerate. So every time you start that new interval, you are able to get up to speed using that energy system. And that definitely has a place, and resting recoveries definitely has a place. And there's a lot to be said for developing that that sort of that acceleration and everything like that. But by not having rested recoveries, not having walking recoveries either, because resting and walking recoveries would be in the same bag, in that having jogging recoveries, it forces the speed system, or the system that runs on carbs, the glycolytic system, to do all of the work. And it's not getting, there would still, like, nothing ever kind of like operates completely independent of the other thing, but it's putting the focus on that system. And so that has been the focus of the work that we've been doing. And it's similar to sort of like a question. I asked for questions, like people send me this question, but I asked for questions. And one of the questions that got sent to me was on Instagram was, why does all of your running, like so much of your running, have to be easy? Which is often like a mental disconnect, because it's like, I want to run fast. Why am I spending all this time running slow? And the easy answer to that question is that most things rely on your aerobic base, and your that sort of low level intensity fuels most of what you do. So even if you think about like a 5K which feels pretty bloody intense, frankly. It does not feel aerobic at all, but it is actually like 90% of that energy comes from your aerobic system, which is why you spend so much time working on that aerobic system and building that foundation. And a lot of the adaptations that you get that would benefit the upper level systems also happen at that sort of intensity. So you're doing things like developing efficiencies, developing capillaries so that you can get, so that you're doing the building blocks so that your muscles can get more oxygen. All of that is happening at that in that zone, and that's why the vast majority of training plans happen at that intensity. Now you can do there are styles of training where it's all relatively intense, but there's not that much of it. So, you know, you might have sort of like 3 sessions a week, and then you don't run other than that. Like you do sort of like cross training instead. But that's not, on the one hand, you get like really good recovery from those intense sessions, and those intense sessions will also develop those things as well. But the cross training, while it's great for cardio, is not specific to running. And so you may not get the kind of results that you want. And mentally, it can be a little bit of a challenge to have everything be at that intensity as well. So there are definitely approaches that would focus on that. But for the most part, even if you have are having sort of like a speed focus, there's still going to be a decent amount of easy running. There might just be less of it. So like on one of my sort of like lower volume plans, I would have been probably like running 5 days, and there probably would have been 2 workouts and like 3 easy days, that kind of thing. And those easy days would have been considered probably more moderate than easy, but it's still a requirement that they be in there, because that is where all of your foundation development happens. And it's just not something that you can sort of like skip over and just go, oh, well, I'll just do like intense things. You can do intense things, but all that aerobic work creates the basis for those intense things. So you can kind of like elevate that intensity by having a really robust foundation. But a lot of that also is just what you can recover from, really. So, you know, like if you had no one, I don't think, could handle having, you know, like 5 hard sessions in a week. Like your body would just not be able to cope with that. You wouldn't recover from it, so you'd start carrying fatigue from session to session. So that's why most training focuses on hard workout and then recovery days, because you're still getting development on those recovery days, but you can do that while you're still recovering from the workout, basically. And I really do like having some things that are sort of like pace based and some things that are more heart rate or effort based. And I think that heart rate can be a really good thing even if you are effort based, because oftentimes what you think of as easy is not as easy as you think it is. So having sort of like a guideline of like this easy run has to be under this heart rate can be a great way to like recalibrate where your easy should actually be, as opposed to which way you're running it. Because if it's over that, chances are you are compromising your recovery, and not for a good reason, because you're not getting better adaptation in the context of that easy run by going a little bit faster, but you are under recovering. So that's why coaches are always telling people to slow down on their easy days. So I guess the main thing is when you're looking at making a change, instead of thinking, how do I add more, think about more like, how do I add different? Yeah, like obviously I've been doing this for this long and it's got me this far and that's been great, but repeating it doesn't seem to be giving me the result that I want. So I need to look at how to add in something different. And that could be more, but it might not be more. It might be something else entirely. And then it is a matter of kind of also like finding that balance between maybe I want to work on my weakness, but maybe I want to work on my strength. Because sometimes working, it's a bit different. Like if you're talking about strength imbalances, you should definitely work on your weakness. Like that is not with strength imbalance. Or even with strength work in general, like you don't necessarily just want to be hammering your strengths and ignoring your weaknesses. But with running, you might want to favor your strengths more than your weaknesses. So say, for example, like the shorter the distance is for me, the worse I get. I might not get as much benefit in taking, you know, like 1 or 2 seconds off a 200 meter sprint as I would from saying doing an effort-based fartlek or something like that, that is like more in my wheelhouse. So that just takes some experimentation as to what is going to work for you. But yeah, it is just one of those things where everyone, you could take people and you could have them eat exactly the same, have all the same stress, work out exactly the same, and they're all going to have entirely different results because people are so individual like that. So although there are some, you know, general sort of like approaches that are kind of applicable to everyone, ultimately you're sort of like your experiment of one. So you've got to just kind of like feel out what is going to be best for you. And also, you know, you can't separate it out from like what you enjoy to do. So, you know, like something that you absolutely hate doing is not going to get you very far, because you're going to waste so much mental energy on like just getting out the door to do it. And sure, that there is definitely a place for managing that stress and developing your mindset to cope with it, but it can't be every session. Thank you for tuning in this week. And if you want to check out the bonus podcast episodes, you can head over to patreon.com/opmove. Or if you'd like some accountability and structured support and training plans, you can also check out Run Club as well, and I will link that up in the episode notes, and I will chat to you next week.